You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Diana Cooligans, we're talking about the drama that is PSG, okay? there's some messy issues and there's some crime issues. We also talk MLS playoffs, MLS decision day, NWSL playoffs, a lot to discuss today.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Jay DeMeritt. You probably remember him from his time in the Premier League. Prior to that, he got his team at Watford up to the Premier League. And we also talked to him about his time at the men's national team and what it's like to play against Mexico in Mexico and some of the wild stories that have happened to him. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Yes. Let's go.
Come on.
Let's do this. Let's get ready, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Oh, my God. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
Okay. We're your favorite stand-up comedians. The host of Funny Soccer Show right here on Football Sports Network. Let's go. We got so much to discuss.
But it also happens to be the Cooligans, but you already know that.
Okay. All right. This is going to be the 2x speed version of this show because it's going to be jam-packed with hot soccer content, okay?
Bruh, can you watch this at times 1.5 speed on Fubo? Is that possible? People are like, did I hit a button? What's happening to these two?
A lot to go over today. We're excited about today's guest because we're going to be joined by Watford legend, USMNT legend, Jay DeMeritt, okay?
Bro, U.S. men's national team legend. Legend, got Watford into the Premier League. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, captain is an American?
Yeah, that's right. You know, him and us, we have basically the same resume. All right.
You know, honestly, when I was reading his, I'm like, oh man, I think I picked up mine by mistake. You know? And then I realized, oh no, yo, somebody else.
Somebody's been copying off my paper.
Right? I ain't copy, paste, cut the whole nine, my guy.
So Jay DeMeritt will join us in a little while to talk to him. USA Mexico. It's obviously big international window this week. Also, you know, CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers are back on Fubo Sports Network, so we have to a lot to discuss there. We should probably start with Lionel Messi, who is a big fixture. He's a big highlight when it comes to South American World Cup qualifying. He plays for PSG. I don't know if you heard of this guy, but he's currently injured and he's not he hasn't been playing for his club, but he gets a call up to the Argentinian national team, and apparently this rubbed some people the wrong way.
Hey, look, what are you gonna not call him in? He's Lionel Messi. And also, you signed a contract where you let him state that Argentina was his priority, so this was gonna happen, you know.
Yeah, I don't
if
know.
If you let your man go out with another woman and then he's like, yo, I'm gonna spend the night there, you can't be mad.
You
know what I mean?
You said I could go out on the date. You know how dates work, right?
I mean, the date ain't over, even though the calendar is now at another date. You know
what I mean? I don't know what the exact injury is. I think it's maybe a leg injury. You know, he took some kind of a knock, but he hasn't really been thriving at PSG, even when he's been
in the domestic
playing
league,
and healthy.
He's been great in Champions League, but you know, the issue is, you know, he hasn't been great in the domestic league. And I think even Pochettino came out recently and said, you know, this league is more physical than the Premier League, which I think surprised a lot of people. But it's like kind of his way of saying, like, relax, you know, Messi's just kind of getting used to the fact that it's not Osasuna every weekend. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would say it's maybe it's more physical than La Liga, right? But then the Premier League, I mean, there's a bunch of thugs out there.
Yeah. Have you heard of Burnley, my G? Are you sure? Speaking of thugs, there's a lot going on at PSG. We'll get to it.
There's more to discuss. But interestingly enough, the sporting director at PSG was just simply said, quote, it doesn't make sense. It was just like, what?
You know this is official, right? This on the record what you're about to say here.
Not pulling any punches. Just he's like, fam, make it make sense. He won't play for us, but he's gonna go play for his country.
Oh, so you too injured to play for us, but you could go through TSA pre-check. You got your clear ready? You good? So
it begs the question: should he even be playing in these World Cup qualifiers? I know they were important, but Argentina is pretty much a lock for second place and to qualify.
Nah, he just wants to go hang out with his homies. He's down there for the vibes. You feel me? I know there's a potential reason to play, right? It's for your national team. It's clearly what his passion is. But take it off, you know, relax, sit on the bench, come off as a sub if you have to. I mean, come on as a sub if you absolutely have to. You know, you're injured, get right. But look, the national team is his club and the club is his training stint. That's kind of how he views it. Right, PSG, right. It's just here to get me ready for the World Cup.
Yeah, so I summer at Parc des Princes. You
know? Yeah. It's a very chill vibe. We don't diet when we out here, you know. So, Speaking of PSG,
right.
Oh my God, this Amine Diallo overgullied.
Yeah, this is
allegedly.
So this is the news. A player for the PSG women's side, It mimics the story we're all familiar with Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. So apparently, allegedly, she had hired, Diallo had hired thugs to attack one of her teammates that plays
in front of her. Yeah.
Right.
But also plays in front of her on the national team.
Right.
So she's thinking, all I got to do is be better than this person. And then she was like, wait a minute, or this person can't play better than me. How do I do that? She supposedly, again, allegedly. So what we do know is there's two masked men who dragged Kira Hamarawi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think it's pronounced.
Yeah, Hamarawi. Yeah. They dragged her out of her car and beat up her legs, which, you know, if you're a comedian, right, and I can't get a spot because of you, and for some reason, two masked men drag you out of your car and just beat up your hands until you can't hold the microphone.
Hold the mic, right.
You'd be like, you know, I don't think this was a robbery attempt, you know?
Right.
So very clearly, this was done on purpose so that she couldn't play. And then here comes Amanita Diallo being like, I can play. And they're like, all right, go ahead. You in. So this is not looking great. And look, Kira Hamarawi still in the hospital. I don't know if she's still in the hospital. She's still injured.
Right. And
she's in recovery, so hopefully
they get arrested. Yeah. So they're clearly some sort of evidence to suggest that she was involved in this. But this, I've never heard of this in the soccer world. I mean, you know, people want to you want to play, but what when you want to play and there's a player ahead of you that is, let's say, better than you, and you can't get minutes. What do? You ask for a transfer. You say, let me go somewhere where I can play. What is the urgency?
You don't be like, yo, you know what would be great is if this person had no knees. You know what I mean? They can't play this sport. That's not how you handle it. You train harder. I just hope she doesn't get Karim Benzema as her attorney.
the French need to sort a lot of stuff out right now. But.
Yo, the French, we should do an all or nothing France. Just all every French national team player, man or woman, gets a camera following them at all times.
Housewives episode.
Yo, shit, they over gullied as a country. Goulade. All right, Christian, let's talk a little MLS, because imagine this has come up in the past where, you know, the officiating hasn't really been up to snuff, you know, but imagine the officiating
like
was so bad.
Film, Alexis.
I mean, where are we still talking about Amine Diallo? She wants to be the goalkeeper now. Oh, no. Run. Imagine the goalkeeping. Forget what I was saying. Imagine the officiating was so bad. That the official from another game bumped you out of the playoffs, wouldn't you be furious?
Right. And we're talking, look, the Western, we'll try to sum up as much as possible, but the Western Conference decision day was pretty intense. LA Galaxy knocked
Here's
out
how intense
playoffs.
It is. Colorado Rapids have a bye.
Colorado Rapids. I mean, just an incredible year.
Who picked that?
After the year they had last year to this, it's incredible.
Insanity. I mean,
absolutely. Shouts to Robin Fraser, who has completely turned that team around. And they're looking like the Colorado Rapids team of old, you know, who won MLS Cup in the past. It's not impossible, right?
And it's a bunch of players that like other teams didn't want. I mean, it's pretty great. I love how it's all set up.
LA Galaxy, right? They knocked out the playoffs. They end up tying 3-3 against Minnesota, but that wasn't they needed to win that game and did not. But that wasn't even the result that really that knocked them out of the playoffs. It was RSL Sporting Kansas City. RSL wins this game 1-0 thanks to a late goal, wild sequence. Justin Miram with a bicycle kick. Damir Krylak taps it in. Incredible. 1-0. And then
it was a bicycle kick pass.
A bicycle, you don't see those too often. The assist,
it feels like too much, but I gotta tell, it was perfectly right.
but because of this result, Sporting Kansas City for that loss ends up in third place in the Western Conference, and RSL jumps over LA Galaxy due to a better goal differential, but. The controversial non-call, there was a handball, an obvious handball by Justin Glad. Roger Espinoza is about to settle the ball, off the chest. And Justin Glad
in front of the goal.
I mean, it definitely almost inside the 6-yard box, right? Uh-huh. and Justin Glad looks like he's about to do an Allen Iverson crossover with this ball.
Bruh. He legitimately tapped it around Espinoza and then went the other way.
Yeah.
It looked like he was and-running. He looked like he was going to pull Roger Espinoza's shirt over his head and then kind of like do a little stutter in front of him.
Okay, half Glad, half amazing out here.
I didn't know Justin Glad's nickname was Hot Sauce. My guy, it was wild. And so, VAR wouldn't look at it.
I don't even understand this scenario where you have VAR and they didn't even look at it. And then,
bro.
But then a couple, the next day, Pro puts out a statement being like, yo, oh, I see what happened. Okay, I didn't know the cameras were on. And yo, you right. We did make a mistake.
You know what? We didn't see that angle. That's my fault. We didn't see the main camera slow motion angle that caught a hand dribble the whole time.
And they just completely owned up to the mistake. And I mean, wow. As a fan of the, if you're the LA Galaxy, you gotta be upset. Even Peter Vermes upset about the loss, but he was like upset not only for Sporting Kansas City losing,
right.
He was like, yo, this is embarrassing, and this is I'm embarrassed. Even also for the Galaxy and all the other teams that this result affected. So
he said for the first time he's embarrassed to be a part of MLS, and he was a part of MLS when there was a team called the Fusion. He was there during Chivas USA.
He's been
and now he's embarrassed. That's how bad this is.
Right, yeah. He was around when FC Cincinnati were in the league, bro.
Dude, cover your eyes. Cover your ears, kids. No.
So incredible. Obviously, decision day was wild. And we're obviously excited to look forward to the MLS playoffs. There's going to be a lot of big games. And then we should also talk about playoffs that are currently happening, the NWSL playoffs. We now know who are the final four. OL Reign against Washington Spirit.
Thorns versus the Red Stars. Yeah.
The Red Stars. But the first, we got to pour one out for Gotham FC. Lost to the Red Stars. 1-0. A goal by Mallory Pugh knocked them out of the playoffs. A good game.
The two players they traded away. One passed to Mallory Pugh, the other one who scored. Womack, I believe her name was.
Etou Mallory, you know?
Yeah. Damn. Maybe we shouldn't have traded them away.
Etou Pugh, you know?
But look, it was a great season for Gotham FC. A lot of things, you know, have continued to change and progress from where they were a couple years ago. So hopefully that continues in that direction. And hey, it's Carly Lloyd's final match ever.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
crazy is that?
A shame that, you know, ended in a loss, but it is what it is. That is the NWSL playoffs. The other game, Washington Spirit knocked out the Courage 1-0. They won in extra time and a goal from Ashley Hatch. But really Trinity
who's
Rodman,
been a beast this season, and I think I called that, by the way.
Right, a golden boot winner, yeah. Ashley Hatch, but Trinity Rodman, I think, was her shot that the keeper couldn't save that led to the goal. But Trinity Rodman was absolutely incredible in this game. There was a moment, I forgot who it was that she nutmegged, but she nutmegged somebody.
She froze
this is
her.
This is like, bro, this is extra time. You're like, yeah. You gotta just connect.
Where
do
you
a
get this energy from?
You're probably tired. No, she was like, she is... a player and for as a rookie, yeah, I mean, we spoke to her before the season even started, and you didn't get the sense that the moment was too big for her. She's the pick in the first round. And she simply looked like she's been playing there for years. She's been playing as a professional for years, looked comfortable, and is the reason why the Spirit have a very, very strong chance in winning a trophy this season, man. She's really, really that incredible.
And put up a beautiful post about her relationship with her father. So check that out if you haven't. That's really, it's very mature of her, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I think we need to take some time to really pat ourselves on the back. You know, really take the time to say shouts to us from time to time, because this is
toot our own horn, if you will.
This is a perfect opportunity because we just had Midge Purse on the show recently, Margaret Purse, as some say. Uh-huh. You know, unfortunately, lost in the playoffs, you know, to the Red Stars, but got a call up back to the U.S. Women's National Team. But there's a little wrinkle, okay, because she got called back up as a forward.
The Cooligans bump is real, folks. Okay.
And I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago when she did this show, we did a Golasso gift with her. Alexis gave her that scenario where if she made this fictional hypothetical penalty that Vlatko said, all right, you get to play on the women's national team at whatever position you want to play, and boom, what happened? So look,
it happened.
All I gotta say is Vlatko, thanks for watching.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
I'm glad you enjoy our program.
Homie. Also, not just listening, but thank you for paying attention. You know? We try to give the audience a feeling of what the fans are thinking. You know what I mean? And you took that to heart.
Vlatko is watching the show with Vlatko's notebook, as you see him at every game. He's taking down notes. He's like, okay, I see what my players are requesting. All right. Mm. And you know what? Her performance on the show was so hilarious and entertaining that, you know what? She's earned this role. I will give her an opportunity. So she
as soon as that show aired, he picked up the phone and was like, yo, what position you want to play? Go ahead, tell me. And she was like, coach. And he's like, well, I'm not going to let you do that. But pick a different one.
Okay. I think I've given you too much freedom to make this
decision.
I'm going to
hang up and then call you right back. And then we're going to try this again.
But no, man, this is a pretty wild. I mean, you know, from time to time, we wonder, like, who's watching? How much influence do we really have on the American soccer sphere? You know what? It seems to be we're out here picking the formations and the tactics for our national team. So pretty impressive of us.
We're finally getting the level of respect and influence we've always wanted. We've known we've deserved. So now that we know we have this power, look out, everybody.
Okay. So there's you know, everybody just be on the lookout for the head coach tandem of the Cooligan.
Right. We'll Venmo us and tell us who you want to play in what position, and we'll take care of it for you.
Honestly, that's honestly the best way to influence our decisions, okay?
Being influencers, we need to be influenced, you know? In fact, maybe we should have a national team player for the men's team, because the men's team is about to play Mexico. You know what I mean? Maybe we can influence a little something. They're like, yo, why is Weston McKennie up at striker? And we're just sitting back counting money. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yes, we have Berhalter in our pocket. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So look, the women's national team is going to be playing two matches against Australia. So a lot of new players are getting some opportunities. So that's going to be exciting. Men's national team playing this week against Mexico, World Cup qualifier, and really, you know, with how we've played, you know, how the U.S. has played against Mexico in this summer, you kind of expect more of the same. You know, the Mexican team, a lot more veterans, older players. The U.S. men's team is just young, hip. Everybody's doing TikTok dances.
Right. Okay. They're all savages.
All right. Mexico national team. They're still on Facebook, bro. Nah. Or Meta, whatever you want to call it.
They're like, yo, this didn't pop up in my Facebook stories. And we're like, ew, he's using Facebook stories.
Okay, what?
Damn, abuelo. What you doing, dog? You're holding the phone wrong, B. You know? They got that new flip phone from Motorola. Right. Ew.
That game is tomorrow in U.S. Mexico, and we're going to be talking about it with Jay Demerit, who's played in some of those rivalry matches. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guest is finally here. And what an honor.
Quite honored, all right? Obviously his incredible career, you know, but also we, you know, him and I, we have a little beef to settle, okay?
So. A little clap back must be had. Well, the reason for that is if you don't know who Jay Demerit is, I can't believe you're even watching the show. You know, legend for the U.S. men's national team, was with Watford. And I mean, I don't want to say the reason, he probably won't take credit for it, but his goal put them in the Premier League. Okay. And got him in Elton John's cell phone. ladies and gentlemen, the man happiest about the 5-2 win over Everton, the one, the only Jay Demerit, everybody.
Jay, what's up, man? Salute.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Salute to you. Yes, it is, you know, it's nice to see you in, you know, on nicer terms, all right? Because we, yes, the last time I did see you, you were hanging out with the Alexis Guerreros at the Premier League Fan Fest. Everton was comfortably winning 2-1 against Watford Football Club. I was quite happy. I was excited about another 3 points. I was happy about all the fans that were in Los Angeles about to celebrate. And then the next 20 minutes, I don't know what happened. Give him 4 or 5 goals, and then I get a message from you gloating, boasting even
yes,
about this victory. So it's nice to see you on, you know, more polite terms, Jay.
Well, you know, very rarely do we score 5, so I got to take those advantages when I get them. And, you know, I got to take advantage of that. You know, not many – I don't think we ever beat Everton at Everton. So I got to – you know, you got to take those moments, boys. You know that.
Okay.
So
I disagree.
And we were at the Fan Fest having a good time, and I probably had one too many mimosas, so I was ready to get after you.
It was just the perfect time to walk in a room where I see J.D. Merritt celebrating 5-2 against Everton. And I was like, oh, I've got to get this on camera. This is perfect.
But it's great to see you, man. How are you doing? I know there's a lot going on in your career. Like I mentioned, you were hanging out with Alexis in Los Angeles. But you got to hang out, with Watford fans. And you are the ambassador, the North American ambassador for Watford Football Club. So we'll talk about your career in the past, but right now, the responsibility of growing the Watford footprint. What has that been like for you now in your post playing career?
Well, I think I don't know, Alex, if you were counting, but there was only six jerseys of the 6,000 that came okay. through for the weekend. So I got a lot of work to do, put it that way. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I just love the opportunity to continue to work for such a great club at Watford. You know, they very much are a community built place. They have a little bit of fame, but also just a lot of community built love that, you know, I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's where I grew up, in a community built sport place. And so I think my relationship with Watford has always been that it's been community built. It's fun to represent that community and of course grow the game here in North America. There's still so much growth we can do. We got to keep Watford in the Premier League. Obviously that helps. You can't get someone to support a team that's not going to be there every year. I guess that's the hardest thing you got to start selling with the North American market. But that being said, you know, the stories are there. The Elton John stories are there. Everything's there. It's just about, you know, staying in the league and being a team that actually can compete. And so far, so good. You know, I think the Watford, as anyone who pays attention to the Premier League, has had 17 managers in 10 years. They have players in a revolving door because of that. And so
Everton has had some of those managers, right?
Yeah. There's a little bit of back and forth.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's hard to keep that, you know, that staple point in there, but you know, we're looking to, hopefully Ranieri will work. Hopefully he can tinker around as much he wants, but with the same players for once, you know what right. I mean? It's hard to build that team from a foundation if you don't keep players around. And so I think that's going to be the goal for this season. Keep the players, stay in the league, and then have Ranieri take us to survival for a year and a year. And then next year there'll be 50 Watford jerseys at the fans.
There we go. Actually, here's a quick way to get more American fans. Why does the badge have a moose in it, but you nicknamed the bees? What the hell's going on?
Good question. I can answer that. The stag, it represents the county, which is Hertfordshire, which is like a stag or a deer. And so that represents the county where Watford is, just in the northwest of London. And then their mascot is Harry the Hornet. And so the bees are what they are, but in their mascot, it represents the county that they're in.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, it is.
You know? Is. Like at Arsenal, it's a cannon. You know, but if their nickname was... it's a cannon, but if their nickname was the pacifist, you'd be like, I'm a little confused. Why you need the cannon for it? You know?
Jay, you did just mention you are from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And look, it'd be difficult to not talk about the Packers. And I know this is a soccer show, but let's talk about football, as we call it out here. Look, obviously the news is all about Aaron Rodgers and him. It's hard to even sort out all the details, but he's not playing. Right. Tested positive for COVID. And now Joe Rogan is in the news. Okay. Even more than usual, but as a Packers,
Dr. Joe, no, but they get Dr. Joe Rogan. I believe it's
apologies right. for,
what's my copay for listening to the show?
I was just calling him Mr. Joe Rogan for years.
So disrespectful.
But as a Packers fan, how are you supposed to feel with the madness that's playing out in the national media with the Packers?
Well, I mean, I don't think there was a better time to beat the Chiefs than this weekend when we didn't have our starting quarterback. So, you know, again, I know Green Bay people are a little bit upset. I mean, it's a weird time, man. Like, it's so crazy to even think that that people are playing and not playing based on something, you know, like a vaccine. Like, we never would have thought we would be here, but we are. And, I think at the end of the day, fans just want to see their teams win. Like, we don't care how we get there in the end. You know, if Jordan Love comes in and throws 3 touchdowns and, you know, it's a whole nother narrative and the whole nother thing that could have happened. But at the end of the day, you know, we understand the power of Aaron Rodgers and what he brings to that team to how you go and make playoffs and potentially challenge for Super Bowls. It's through him, you know, and at the end of the day, you have wide receivers, but if they can't, you know, they're not getting delivery from Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best to ever do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
put anybody in there and Packers fans aren't going to be happy because you can't replace the dude. You can't, it's almost impossible. So that's hard. It's hard when fans are looking at it saying, well, we want to win. That's our team. And then you go, well, Aaron, you got to do what's best for the team.
Yeah. I think
he's like, well, I'm still me and I'm still doing what's best.
Right. So, we're going to need the Packers need to draw up a play where they lateral literally the needle with the vaccine to Aaron.
Right, right, right.
And he uses it.
Right. Pfizer Gap, 42. Pfizer 42. By the way, I just do want to confirm. I know you're a really big Packers fan, but you can't change the fact that they lost to the Chiefs.
They did lose, I guess.
7-13.
I know.
Yeah. They beat the Chiefs. I was like, actually, it was a pretty rough one.
I know, but think about that. I mean, last year the Chiefs would have ran them 38-0. But, you know, and again, the Chiefs are in a bit of a slump right now. So, that again, my point was, like, you had the best chance in the last couple of years to beat the Chiefs. And we couldn't do it.
One of my favorite side notes about that game is, I forget the guy's name who was the first-time starter at quarterback. The Chiefs put his mom and his sister in the last possible seats in the stadium. I mean,
yeah, it's like a drone shot too. If you watch the shot too, it's like it starts with them and it's like zooms right in on them, and they're like top two seats in the whole stadium.
It's funny because you would never do that in the Premier League, like in England, you would never do something like that. You'd always show like reverence to the other player, and there's all that. Here, they're like put them in the last possible seat, and they really were as far as
I'm buddies with a guy that played for the Seahawks, and so a couple years ago he was a tight end for the Seahawks. They played at Lambeau Field, so I'm like, I get caught, you know, tickets and pay $160 or whatever, but I'm like, well, my buddy's coming, he doesn't know anyone in Green Bay. I'm like, Dad, let's go get his tickets, because I'm like, they can't be that bad, you know what I mean, like whatever. And so I get free tickets, go to the thing, and I'm telling you, same. Top row Z corner. And I'm like trying to press my dad. I got tickets from like one of the players. You know what I mean? He's like, I can buy better seats, dude.
Yeah. I think you win better seats in a Coke can.
Exactly. So yeah, don't get them from the players if you can get them in the stands.
Let me ask you about where do you think the American player is today? Because obviously you had a great career. You got a chance to play with the men's national team. And I want to ask you a little bit about that. But a lot's changed since you played. If I remember the movie correctly, you sent letters to a lot of English teams trying to get trials, and you ended up going out there and finding a trial on your own. Things are a little different now. You know, one, we don't send letters anymore. It's an email. And two, or maybe you slide into DMs. And two, now American players are just getting bought after one game in MLS. How different is that? And are you excited? What do you think is going to will it continue to happen? What do you think happens in the future?
I think it's a really good question, in all honesty. And I think we've turned a corner. I got to be honest, you know, like the last, you know, group of the U.S. national team players, they were all playing in Europe. But what I say all the time, they weren't influencing their clubs. They were just there. You know what I mean? They were playing week in, week out, but maybe they weren't contributing or they weren't starting. And there's a difference between being a European player and being someone that's lifting trophies for your club in Europe or captaining your team in Europe. You know, like our generation was like, you know, I was captain of Watford, Bocanegra was captain of Fulham, Timmy was captain of Everton. You know, a lot of these you know, again, Steve Trundle, captain of Hanover. We had these characters that were leaders on their teams too. And I think the last run of the, you know, that haven't qualified for World Cups, those, you know, you're relying your full leadership abilities on like the Pulisics and the next generation. They weren't ready yet. Now they are, but they're on now. Part of the reason why they're ready is because they've gone and got great club opportunities, but are thriving at their clubs. They're getting minutes. They're lifting trophies. They're doing the things that you bring that leadership into a U.S. locker room. Now it's a different story. And so what I see is this transition now where the leaders are actually real and the talent is still there. And so now I see that hopefully we've turned a corner now. Again, we'll find out this week and the weeks after where that resolve is. They've showed it this summer. I got to be honest, I was impressed with the resolve they showed, with the ability to win games. Again, I say this all the time about the last group. You can't go to Trinidad and win. You don't get to go to the World Cup. That's simple. You can't win those games. You don't deserve to be there, in all honesty. You know, you got to win the big games, but you need the characters and the leaders to do so. And for the first time in a long time, I've seen leaders in that locker room that are delivering when they need to, lifting trophies for their clubs and being contributors for 365. not the other way around. You know, you go play in Europe and you get to play six games a season, and but you're at a Premier League team, or you're playing for, you know, Borussia Dortmund, but you're not playing, and you're not really, because when you come in for the national team game, you're not sharp. You're not at it and ready to beat Trinidad and Trinidad. And so what I like about this new group is that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked even the point you made about the captains that played in Europe. You, Watford, Bocanegra, Tim Howard, Cherundolo. It says something about the sort of that American resolve, like almost the captains, the generals, similar to the generals who saved England and Germany from their own demise. You know what I mean?
Right?
There's something there about that American character.
Add demerit to that list. Right? You'd be speaking German if it wasn't for Jay.
Yeah, Norwegian maybe, or Danish. But,
yeah. when you look at, but there's an opportunity now, and it's being talked about. Supposedly, it's already in motion that there may be a World Cup every 2 years. You obviously got a chance to play in a couple. What are the odds that, first of all, are you for a World Cup every 2 years? And is it just to get a chance to play in more of them? Is that really why so many players seem to be kind of for it?
Yes, I think that's why, because there are definitely notches on your belt, and also, if you have a 4-year period, there's a big group of players that might miss out on that, because in that 4 years, so much can change. You know, squads change, managers come in, players come in and out of form. So you got to really hit the timing right to ride that wave into a World Cup. You know, you look at some guys, you know, that didn't make the World Cup team, you know, in my years, like these guys played for 3 straight years, went through qualifying, gets to the end of that hurdle. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we're not bringing you. The joy to the player is that every 2 years you get that chance again. And so I can see that's why players want to do it, because that's the ultimate notch on every belt you get. World Cup. Like, you play in that, that's the ultimate goal for any professional footballer. It's not the contract. That is number one. And I, you know, again, from the player's perspective, I'm stoked, because there will be more notches on that belt. And that experience for the player, that experience for how do you grow this game in America, will help us. It will. Right. Because you play in World Cups, you get more confidence. You play in 10 of them, and now all of a sudden you're a legend in a whole another way. And so the whole idea is that, yes, for the players, I'm not actually for it. I still think that it puts it off a different pedestal now. Like, it's not this thing that happens every 4 years and we crescendo to, and it's like, you deserve to be here. It took 2.5 years to get here. Qualifying takes almost 2.5 years to get there.
Yeah.
And so, and I've been through World Cup qualifying. It sucks. It's super hard. It's travel. It's all these things. It's back to back to back games, going back to your club, playing back to back to back, and then coming back and playing back to back to back. So I always tell these stories about, like, jet lag. You know, my friends tell me they're so jet lagged when they get home from Taiwan. And I'm like, do you want to know about jet lag? I used to play on a Saturday for Watford, fly to Miami on a Sunday for a World Cup qualifier in Mexico on a Wednesday, train Monday, train Tuesday morning, fly to Mexico City Tuesday night, get no sleep because there's a party going on until 5 a.m. And then you wake up in the morning in your hotel, you play at 15,000 feet in Mexico City, you leave on Thursday afternoon noon to fly back to Europe, you land Friday morning because of the time difference, and you play another game for Watford on Saturday.
Right.
And you're going to tell me that you're jet-lagged.
And your brain's like, I'm not exactly sure what time it is, but I think part of us is going to go to sleep.
It's giving very strong, you know, back in my day, we used to walk, we used to go to school walking through the snow, through
uphill, both ways. Both ways.
But it's very, very accurate, obviously.
Again, those guys are on the same schedule right now. You know, again, they're all doing it. I'm not comparing, like, you know, but one of those things, like, they're all doing it right now. And again, I just have the ultimate respect for that.
Yeah.
Because I think that the fan in the seat that gets jet lagged doesn't know why they're complaining about that national team loss. Well, and I can tell you why. It's because that person's played 3 games in 7 days in front of 50,000 people and has 26 hours of flights in between.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, U.S. men's national team, they, you know, they, what the loss against, like, Panama, it was like one of these games where we're just like, we should beat Panama in Panama. Like, we're just clearly the better team on paper, but that isn't how it works out. And you imagine that some of these factors, like, come into play. So let's talk real quick. I want to talk about U.S. Mexico. It's obviously happening this week. You know, we've defeated Mexico pretty regularly these last couple matches. This summer was, I think, very exciting for a U.S. men's national team fan. As far as the rivalry, it feels like, you know, we are turning a corner in this rivalry a little bit. What do you expect out of this match? I know the World Cup qualifiers are just a little bit different than cup competitions. But what do you expect in this upcoming match?
Hopefully the same. You know, I love the rivalry as much as anybody. You know, I think Mexico again is coming in probably better form, but I think at this time of the year, I like these games where you like go to Cincinnati and you play in the cold and like that it's all part of it. It's the same reason we go to the Mexico and have a party outside our hotel room for 8 hours. It's the same. Like, we have to find our advantages somewhere. And I think, you know, that's what I love about World Cup qualifying, and I love about this rivalry, because you got to find your advantage. This is advantage U.S. right now. You got to win this game, and that's part of the journey, 100%. You got to beat Mexico at home. You have.
Do you have any memories that stand out for you playing against Mexico?
Yeah, it was the other way.
Pops in your head?
Yeah, that was Azteca Stadium. You know, again, this similar moment where we had a World Cup qualifier there. I remember that week is like the craziest week I probably ever had. Right? Cause again, we were out for game. And then I had never played at that high of elevation before. And everyone, you know, knows Azteca Stadium is that, you know, like, I think it's,
yeah, it's up there.
It's like 13,000, 14,000 feet. And so it's like this, like a bomb hits you in warmups. You're like, what the, you know, there's two oxygen tanks for every, like, you share it with your locker partner. And you come into the locker room and you're like, you can't breathe. And you're just warming up. Like, you're like, how are you going to get through this 90 minutes? And you climatize yourself a little bit. But at the end of the day, because again, we don't fly into Mexico until the day before. So there's no real climatization. You're not really training too much in it to kind of get your levels back up. And so it's kind of this quick hit. That's why no one really wins at Azteca. But at the end of the day, it was this unique experience because you come there. It was a big game. Charlie Davies scored in the 9th minute, I think. And we went, I've never heard 87,000 people dead quiet before, you know, and I could, and then, so that's what I remember about that game, is like hearing this like eerie dead quiet feeling when we go 1-0 up, and then they had a bar down volley on the 20, like from the 25 to tie it up. And I've never seen 87,000 people so crazy. And so it's like that whole idea just sums up the Mexican rivalry right there all in one game.
Did you ever have like one of those CONCACAF experiences where they set off like fireworks or like, you know, gave you like bad food or something so the players would get sick? Did you ever get any of that experience?
Yeah, I mean, the fireworks are real for sure. You know, I always tell people that, you know, a lot of these stadiums, you see those blow-up tunnels? Those are blowing up for a reason. So it's like when you come out of the gate, you're out of projectile range. Those blow-up tunnels aren't just for advertising. They look like that's what they're for, but they're not. They're there to give players another 15 meters, 15 feet.
Right.
Out of battery range, you know, because you see it. You see them pop down on the ground. You can see them, like, bouncing around you, whatever it is that they're throwing. All that stuff is real. And again, I always love that, though. Like, you know, I'm into that kind of stuff. You know, I'm kind of one of those renegade people that likes that. Like, I feed off that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, somebody is cares this much, you know what I mean? And that they're going to throw their own pets at me, like,
You know what I mean? You know, it's the thought that counts when it comes to Jay DeMarro.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize Jay DeMarro was into some kinky stuff. Okay.
Old golden shower DeMarro. That's where they got the name from.
I like the branding,
We got our own supporters group. These guys are called the Gully Squad. These are our supporters. I know Watford has their own. And they gave us a couple questions here. Christian, do you have one?
Yeah. First one I wanted to get. This is from a fan. This is from Nixon. Yeah, he asked this question. He said, who was the better player growing up, you or your brother Todd? So I don't know the backstory here because I don't know much about your brother Todd, but I guess there's something here.
Well, I'll put it this way. My brother, he was older. He was 3.5 years older. So he showed me the way, but I had a good older brother. He taught me a lot about life and supported me. So as I got better than him, I had the opportunities to beat him up and I never did.
Okay, that's because very kind of.
He was such a nice older brother for me. So we
you held back.
We keep it family. We keep it family around here. Yeah, but
very nice.
Yeah, he was a good.
Jess Howen wants to know, and Jess Howen being a Colorado Rapids fan, she wants to know. I don't know if you've watched Ted Lasso, she said, but what did you think of them shortening Wofford to WTF on their fake broadcast?
I did see that. I thought it was kind of interesting, but you know, I'm just happy to see some positive energy built to the sport. You know, like that's what I love about TED the most. You know, it's just this whole idea of like we're slowly, subtly educating the U.S. about football over there. You know, like it is. And I see a lot of similarities in my story. You know, I came over very naive. I didn't really know much, but I was nice and I was respectful and I tried to help England. Like England taught me the game. America didn't teach me the game. You know, I was just a competitive athlete that took a chance on himself. You know, I wasn't educated in soccer in America. I didn't play soccer full time until I was 18 years old, 19 years old. Like I was just kind of going from the other side of the track. And so like, I always appreciate how much England can teach you about the game. You know, like, yes, they're brash. Yes, they will tell you anything, even if it's not true, to make you lose or to get under your skin or do whatever. But at the end of the day, that's all part of culture. And that's all part of the game at the truest form of what football culture is and soccer culture is around the world. You know, they want to get under your skin. They want to make you feel like you're this big when they're not in your stadium. And that adds the pressure, that adds the environment, that adds this whole idea of what it's all about. You know, from the fans' perspective of how they're going to get under your skin, to the players' perspective of how do you actually, you know, receive that and not make it bother you, and to the whole reason of like we're all in this together. Because I'm out on the field, you guys are screaming at me, but I gotta love the fact that like you're trying to get it from me, but I'm like screw you because this is my, you know, the whole idea. You know what I mean? And you care much, and the pressure's real. And that, you know, I hope we get that in America eventually, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Jay, you obviously your career is, you set the path for a lot of American players after you. I mean, if people haven't seen this documentary about Jay DeMary as well, you should definitely check out. But it is incredibly fascinating. I just out of curiosity, you mentioned people trying to get under your skin. Anything a player ever said to you that you can't get out of your head that you just always remember, whether it was funny or really did kind of seep in?
I mean, Craig Bellamy was the one that really – remember Craig Bellamy?
Of course, yeah.
Welsh fast guy, but he was like the ultimate chirper. Like, and I wasn't like a trash talker. I was just a competitor. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I didn't really join in too much. I just figured I had a job to do, and I didn't want to get into that mental state. You know what I mean? And so, but he was the first one that I actually understood that forwards are trying to get you sent off. Because I got a yellow card when we were playing Liverpool. I got a yellow card pretty early. And one of my second tackles, I came in and kind of let him know I was still there. You know, like he. And he turned around to me and he like grabs my jersey and he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to fucking get you sent off today. And he's just this little guy. But I'd never seen, like, I'd never understood that mentality. Like, I forgot that these guys are trying to get me sent off. Like, I just thought, you know, competitive, whatever. And I've never thought that intent was so real. I'm like, holy shit, he really is going to try to get me sent off today. I've never had that, to be so brutally honest, but so true. And so, like, he was the first player for me that kind of trash talked in a way that said, holy cow, these guys are out to get me too. It's not just me trying to get these guys. You know what I mean?
It's a psychological game as much as it is.
100%.
Dude.
He was a thorn in everyone's side. Even his teammates hated him.
You don't even want to train against your homie.
All right, Jay, thank you for answering those questions. A couple pieces of business before we let you go. I want to get, is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
I mean, mainly what I'm doing now is I have this Rise and Shine program off that film that you talk about. Rise and Shine was a documentary film in 2011 after the World Cup. You know, a lot of people heard about my story, and people that I didn't even know went to Kickstarter, donated thousands and thousands of dollars, $223,000. The soccer community voted and donated to turn my story into a documentary film called Rise and Shine. And that was kind of my whole post-career purpose moment kind of idea where, you know, thousands of people you've never met are given their money to share your story. You better go out and tell it. You know what I mean? And so Rise and Shine has become something so much bigger than me. It's a youth program. It's a charity fundraiser, which is a music festival. It's a charity. And so we do a lot of charity work. And then now it's where we're actually growing the youth program. We work with teenagers, teenage program. And now we're growing it into an app with EA Sports. We're going to gamify learning like masterclass for teenagers and young adults, college students, things like that, where we can kind of gamify celebrity, hang out with people, cool stories, win things like Zoom calls with those celebrities or NFTs based on those people's lives. But it's all based like Masterclass, where we get to hear people's unique stories, but we turn them into 3 to 5 minute episodes geared towards like moments of learning about someone's story, someone's experiences, good, bad, ugly. It doesn't matter. It just depends on the person or the brand. But then it's all gamified. So you win stuff for it. You can take quizzes about what you just watched to give yourself points to cash out on cool stuff you want, like coffees and shoes and limited jerseys. And EA's actually given us a jersey to put in FIFA. As a Rise and Shine jersey, we're going to get our first ever Rise and Shine jersey in the game, boys. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be the reward that people are going to learn by learning about how FIFA 22 was made. And so we're going to go behind the scenes with engineers, 3D animators, and learn about how the video game's actually made. And then you get the jersey unlocked once you complete the lessons. And so as you can see, it kind of gamifies learning, but in a more unique way. And certainly gives young people what they want, and that's free stuff.
That's amazing.
Hell yeah. I want free stuff.
You know, we never age out of it somehow.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm like, I could run circles around these stupid kids. You know what I mean? I'll get all the free stuff.
So also make sure you follow.
Shave your beard, look really young.
Make sure you follow Jade the Merit on social media, and follow us at Soccer Cooligans and at Fubo Sports, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. Okay, so a couple other things. Let's get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal that we will turn into a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario, and you are free to celebrate it however you like on screen. So, Alexis, what do you suggest?
For some reason, you are back on the men's national team. You are headed to Azteca to take part. You are a backup center back. But for some reason, last minute of the game, you get called in. And you're not sure. You're not sure how this is going to go. But Greg Berhalter whispers in your ear, hey, if you score a header on this corner, I'll make sure that Rise and Shine is part of every FIFA video game. But also, there's going to be 12 people with Watford kits at the next fantasy Premier League fan fest. You score that header. How do you celebrate?
I'll go. Because I'm in Azteca, so I'm going to go. I'm gonna do the Alan. Then I'll do the Alan Shearer. Where's my things? My Alan Shearer runaway. I met Alan at the fan fest. The legend that is the one hand approach. Keep it simple.
Yeah, you
are.
Go
USA.
You played. You played 45 seconds into this match, and you aren't needing oxygen.
Yeah, yeah. You get a record for bringing your oxygen tank with you on the pitch.
Exactly. Amazing! Thank you so much for that, Jay Demerit. All right, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So, Jay Demerit, thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely honored. So, for Jay Demerit, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!